to believe that I can separate somebody out for my happiness, he says that's believing in separation of salvation, because it's in the complete equality of the atonement in which salvation lies. Now, what does that mean? Very easy. It says it is in the complete equality of the healing in which our happiness lies. My happiness, I'm not going to truly, 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 truly be happy until all of you are. I could be happy and you not be happy, but I'm going to ever be truly happy until you are also healed too, because you are me. If this oneness stuff is true, then you all are a part of me. If I'm hearing this at all, you all are a part of me. So why would I want to leave any part of myself outside of the healing?
Doesn't mean we have to go to dinner.
Sometimes the healing is dependent on us not going to dinner. Because the kind of joy that I'm talking about doesn't have anything to do with your bodies. Because it's only the egos that get together separately anyway. The mere fact that there is a separate me calling a separate you that's trying to get together at a separate time to do a separate thing together means the whole encounter is an illusion. The only thing that's valuable about the time I spend with anybody is how much time we spend together reinforcing each other's innocence. The rest of it is total folly that I enjoy, that's fun, that should be enjoyed. As a matter of fact, it's your enjoyment and your happiness that witnesses to people that they aren't guilty and that they are innocent. You want to give everybody the message that they're innocent so that you can have your healing?
Yeah.
Smile around them. Be happy around them. Have a good time. And there's no way somebody seeing you really happy and having a good time could possibly feel like they're really causing you pain. So just by being in the presence of a happy person, it makes you realize that there's something about you that's absolutely not harmful. Because here a person is with you, of all people, you! And they are actually happy and having a good time and life is working and having a great conversation. So the easiest way to witness your innocence to you is simply for me to not be... Boy, if you just change, I swear, if you just... So what am I witnessing to that person? You're guilty, 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 you are 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 guilty, and by the way, you are guilty. So that's only two messages I'm giving to anybody. You're guilty or you're innocent. Now, immediately people go to the rapists, the robbers, the murderers, the serial killers, Hitler, and of course, McDonald's. Because the ego is going to always give you an extreme example so that you won't implement the truth on small levels. Okay, so rather than me focus on how I can give you the picture of innocence, my ego goes, what about all those people who really are guilty? You know what I'm saying? It immediately goes to whatever is going to keep you from doing the thing in the moment that's going to heal you right then and right there. So, if I love all of you, I realize that there's no way I could love everybody unless it did not require anything of me. I knew that somehow or another what love really must be must absolutely not request anything other than what you naturally are, or else it would have to be the biggest, most ridiculous burden that you could ever come up with, is the idea of loving everybody. If it means our conventional idea of love, which is to sacrifice, then nobody would want to do that, because we make enough sacrifices for the few people that we think we are special to, let alone adding the whole doggone city to the bunch. and then trying to head the state and the country and the world, and then going out to the universe. So there's no really great motivation to love everybody as long as it's the way we do it.
Yeah.
It sounds like a burden.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? I want y'all to love everybody. I want you to take care of everybody. And you go, y'all, I'm having a hard enough time taking care of myself. You know, that's a full-time job. You see what I'm saying? So the Course says, guess what? Let's go back to the top of the premise. You do not understand what love means. Mm-hmm. Because when you hear love, you hear limitation.
I hear sex.
And most people do. That's why it's such an incredible idol. And that doesn't mean that nothing that I'm saying is a condemnation of anything that I'm talking about. It's just more or less revealing it for what it is, but it's not really talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Because no matter what you do in the world, it's all neutral, and that it doesn't have any meaning other than the meaning you give to it. So no matter what you're doing, the only thing that thing means is what it means to you. It doesn't have an inherent meaning in itself. Sexuality doesn't have an inherent meaning in itself. It's neither good nor bad. It's what you, and you're going to either use it to make you feel guilty, or you're going to use it to make you feel innocent. You're either going to use it to make you feel peace, or you're going to use it to make you feel conflict. And guess what? The Course says that's what we do with every single solitary thing in the physical world. We either use it to make ourselves free, or we use it to imprison ourselves. He said that's the issue. That's the only issue. It's not the thing, but what you're going to use the thing for. And he says that's what you need to get clear about. And he says, how can you, how can you decide that certain special aspects of the sonship can give you more than others? It's like, I walk in the room, but what makes me think you can give me more than you can? He says, the past taught me this. The past taught me that I could come in the room and I could pick out who in this room can give me what I want over anybody else. And that's the person I used to code name, I'm attracted to you. I'm attracted to you means the special needs I have made up and defined, I imagine you'll be able to do something about it. I'm attracted to you. And when you meet somebody who you believe can take care of the need that you made up, and then they look at you and they think you're the one that can take care of the need they made up, then you think you got a match made in heaven. Right? I got my imagined need, and guess what? I want you to meet it. And you say, well, guess what? I want you to meet mine. And then once you go, all right. What is misery? Misery is when the two imagined needs don't match. Right? I've made up that you should be the one to take care of my needs, and you have a restraining order out on me. You do not want me to come anywhere near you. But I've imagined, oh, it's you. It's you. You're the one that's supposed to take care of my imagined need. I'm going to single you out to take care of my imagined need, and you better not let none of your, and the Course says love means appreciation. So when you talk about loving everybody, it's just talking about appreciating everybody. And when you hear it that way, the ego usually goes, shh. Oh, well, I don't mind if my partner appreciated people. I don't mind if they appreciate it, as long as they don't appreciate it more than me. But, you know, that's the limit of my appreciation is when I come to second tier. But it's less threatening than saying love, isn't it?
Yes.
Which lets us know we have all of these, like he says, past learnings about love that are not true. And he says that's why we experience love as painful. The holy instant teaches you that it's not so, that it's going to teach you that everyone can give you what you want. 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 Everyone. How would you like 10 people to give you what you want, or one person to give you